We are here in Ephesians chapter number 4 now, and I know I have my glasses right there. So, okay. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse, start with me. We started this passage 2 weeks ago. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you again for the time that we can spend this morning looking into your word. We, as an assembly this morning, just now open our hearts to you, to your word, and especially on behalf of Rich and Katie and the girls, their family, as they walk with you as you lead them in your word through this medical issue that they're dealing with right now. And as we sang a moment ago, that you do lead us, and we understand the way that you lead us is through your word. God, we are so grateful and privileged that they're a part of this ministry here, and the way that we can see your word working in their inner man and strengthening them. And so we do uphold them in prayer right now. God, we recognize that they are not the only ones in this ministry or related to this ministry, even those listening on the internet that maybe are battling with health issues. And so, Father, we just want to pray for them as well. We pray for Celeste as she continues to have some issues with this brain tumor that she has, for Denise and Joseph as they seek to help her and others here in this ministry, and again, that are here by extension, by the internet, might be, we think of Judy and her medical issues. And what a faithful supporter, and just the way she stays in your word and is so encouraged and strengthened by your word as extended through this ministry. So we pray for her, Lord, this morning. And God, we don't want to leave anybody out, but Father, we're thankful to Thee for Thy love, Thy goodness, Thy kindness to us. Your gentleness, your word that is available right here, right now, to strengthen us individually and as an assembly. We pray that we might be edified by the things that we look at this morning. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, when you're here at this part of the book of Ephesians, Paul now begins to get into the walk of the believer, what you'd say the practical application of the doctrine. We spent, I don't know how many months now, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, where Paul takes us into truly the heavenly places and the ages to come and the eternal purpose to glorify Christ and God's plan and purpose that you're a part of now. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yes.
I mean, you're part of something pretty big, like real big. And you're part of something that's going to last a long time in the ages to come. And you're a part of that because of the love of God manifested on the cross, the finished work of Christ. It truly is a finished work. And so, in the light of what we've studied in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and how Paul takes us out into those heavenly places, he now, in chapter 4, 5, and 6, is going to beseech us. By the way, what did we learn last week the word beseech is in connection with? It's a grace word. Yeah, it's not. It doesn't say, I command you, I beseech you. I implore you, I beg you, on the basis of grace, here's an appropriate response to a conscious awareness and an appreciation of what God said He's doing in the dispensation of grace. Look at a couple other quick things. We looked at this last time, and that's why I'm going quickly. He says, I therefore, notice he's the prisoner. He's in bonds when he writes this. He's in bonds as he beseeches us. By the way, therefore, it's not always such a bad thing to be in prison. Now, that could be taken different ways, right? Don't go break the law to get in prison. Listen, Paul is in bonds for the message of grace. We're glad that he was. Right? Because it was while in bonds that he wrote this document, that he wrote like the book of Colossians and so forth, both of which take us out to heavenly places. But he says, I the prisoner. He's writing this as one, when he says as a prisoner, he's writing this as one who has lived the doctrine. He's writing this as one who promoted the doctrine, taught the doctrine, and now is experiencing the suffering for the doctrine. So he's got some credibility here in terms of someone who can really beseech us to walk this way. Okay? He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What is the vocation? What did we find out?
Yes,
our ambassadorship in the heavenly places in Christ. And We're set together Christ in heavenly places, but we're ambassadors here in this present evil world. So our vocation is not, it's not like your job that you work with, you know, 40 hours a week, etc. It's your eternal purpose in Christ. Okay, that's the vocation that we read about in chapter 1, 2, and 3. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then he qualifies that and explains a little bit further in verse 3. With all lowliness and meekness, with, what's that next word? Yeah, that's exactly, see, if you've come to this ministry for a while, you know how to read that word. It's long and further into it. And next word? Suffering. See that? If you'll make that comparison with 1 Timothy chapter 1, look over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 16. Look at 1 Timothy 1:16. He says, 1 Timothy 1:16, he says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me what?
First.
Okay, so Christ started something first in Paul. That's why we say and teach that the Scripture teaches that the dispensation of grace started with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Okay? He says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all, and there's the word again. See that? One of the very natures of what God is doing in the dispensation of grace is that God Himself is showing forth what? That's right. He is showing forth His capacity and ability to suffer with the rebellion and rejection of His message by man, for a long time. The dispensation of grace really has been the longest dispensation so far. It's almost 2,000 years now. It's the longest one. Now that doesn't, we don't know if it's going to go longer or not. It's going to, you know, it's gone this long. And we're glad that now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Could go on another 500 years, could go on another 2 months, another day, could end tonight. Could end 5 minutes from now. Think about that. Let's just say that the rapture, let's just say that God was to call the church, the body of Christ, home in 30 seconds. Let's just say that that was the case. Right? We're kind of excited about that. We're sitting there listening to the message about 25 seconds down. Anyway, so we're listening to the message. We're looking forward to, wow, that this event might actually happen. It's 20 seconds now. Okay, so at any rate, so we're thinking about, man, we're listening for that shout. That is 15 seconds now. Okay? And now we're listening to that, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangels, and now it's 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom! We're out of here! Boom! Listen, it's going to happen. And you're going to be a part of the rapture. Even if you depart by way of death, you're still going to come up in the rapture. You're going to get a resurrection body out of the ground, and your spirit and soul is going to return with the Lord. See that? It's going to happen. You are part of the rapture generation because you're a believer. You're going to go out of here. So we do live our lives looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it is something that we should look forward to. Sometimes people, you will hear people say that, no, you people that are, you Christians that are believing in the pre-tribulation rapture, you're just looking for escape out of this world. Yeah. The Scripture says it's a present evil world. The Scripture says Satan is the god of this world. So what exactly is it that you think I need to stick around here for? Other than sharing the gospel, an ambassador for Christ, that type of thing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, going home to be with the Lord. He tells me in His Word, looking for that blessed hope. It is a walk of faith to be looking for that, you see. When that verse says that He might show forth all long suffering, God is demonstrating, He's putting on display right now His capacity to tolerate the rebellion of mankind for a long period of time. To put up with their rebellion. To put up with their hatred of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So the very thing that God Himself is putting on display to the world, it's no wonder that Paul would make that connection. Go back with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. That's when he says, with all lowliness and meekness with what? Long suffering. Let what God is doing, what God is putting on display, let it be on display in you. Okay, now let's think about that then. In order for long suffering, we'll come back to meekness and lowliness there in just a moment. But in order for long suffering to be on display in me and you, what also has to be true? What's that? Yes, right. There's got to be something to suffer through. If everything is always wonderful and great and so forth, what is it that we find that we don't do? We tend to not appeal to God. When everything in life is going super and wonderful and everything, you tend to forget the great need that we all have, even as believers. Is that not true? Okay. Think of this verse. Anybody know what Galatians 2:20 says? Yes, you all do. Come on now. Look over to Galatians 2:20. You all know this verse. And hold on to Ephesians there. Look over to Galatians 2. Watch this. Galatians 2:20. And he says this. Galatians 2:20. Let's read this verse out loud together. Galatians 2:20. He says, everybody there? Okay, here we go. Ready? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? And did you notice in the verse, there's the three words, yet not I, yet not I, yet not I. What's that about? Yet not I. What's that about? Not about us. Good. What else? That power source. It's not of me. The life of grace is not of me. Yet not I. One of the marvelous, wonderful things that verse keeps reminding us about is, listen, it's not of me. Yet not I. Yet not I. Hence, it shows us our constant need. We as believers are the most needy people in the world. What we need, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we already have, of course, it's the greatest need to ever have. Think about that. People spend their lifetimes realizing they need stuff, and they try to fill that need up with all the things of the world that are just meaningless and empty. No return about it. You and I have the great need, yet not I. But life has a way of kind of reminding us how much we as believers need Christ. Right here, right now, every day. And it is one of the greatest realizations ever to come to as a believer, is that no matter how long I have been saved, no matter how much I've been reading the Word of God, no matter how many verses I can quote and so forth, I still need Christ. I need Him more today than ever. That's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Because when you live in that kind of understanding, it drives you to the Word of God. It drives you to the heart of God. It drives you to Scripture. It drives you to fellowship. It drives you to reach out to one another. If you're struggling with something, you reach out to a saint. Or you know a saint struggling with something, you reach out to them. Yet not I, but Christ. Isn't that a wonderful verse there? Watch something else that's amazing about this whole section here. Look at the comparison with what he refers to as dead or die and life and live. Watch this. Look at verse 19. He says, I, through the law, am... Watch this now. He says, I, through the law, am what? I don't want to use that blue one. I think there was a black one. Here it is, right here. Let me grab this here. Yeah, watch this. He says, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, what? Live. Yet not I, but Christ, what? Liveth in me. And what? Life that I now, what? Live in the flesh. I what? Live by the faith of the... Whoa! We got a little bit of a comparison there. Did you see that? Dead is just dead, man. There's nothing more you can say to that. What else can you start talking about? Live. And live and liveth and life and live and live. See the great... Isn't that wonderful to see how the Holy Spirit did that in Paul's epistles right there? It manifests our need. Christ is our resource. And hence, as we walk by faith in the Word of God, we are experiencing in time, right here, right now, the life that we already have. Isn't that wonderful? See that? Go back with me, if you would. You can let go of Galatians. Go back to Ephesians there. So you can see that the idea of manifesting this long-suffering, we're just putting on display that which God is manifesting. And it means that we can experience, we can expect to experience things that they're going to call upon us to depend upon the Word of God in suffering and do it for a long time. Now, suffering is never fun, is it?
Not really.
What about the rest of y'all? I only heard a few said not really, okay? You know, I'm with the grant that said not really, okay? Maybe some of y'all have figured the other stuff out. Rich, go ahead. There it is. Say it loud, please. Good. Okay, all right. That's good. I'll repeat it for the internet. Rich said, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. One of the most unique and amazing things about what God is doing in the dispensation of grace is along the lines in the area of suffering and challenges and hardships and difficulties. Let me have you notice this verse here. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If it is true that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Okay, if that's a true statement. And is it?
Yes.
Okay, it is. He says it is. So now take that thought with you over to this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look with me at verse 16. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man..." Okay, does what?
Yes.
Now what does that word mean? It's going to corrupt and die. And the way he describes it in chapter 5, verse 1, is it's dissolved. The outer man is dissolved. The tabernacle is dissolved, right? So he says this, back to verse 16 of chapter 4. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." What's the implication in that verse about the difference between the outward man and the inward man?
Life and death.
Life and death, good. What else? One's getting worse, one's getting better. Good. What else? There you go. Temporal and eternal. The part of you that's eternal is your soul and your spirit. And you're going to get a new glorified, resurrected body one day that's also going to live eternally. That's interesting, okay? The part of you that's you, in a unique way, that's not anybody else, is not your body. You know that, okay? The part of you that's you is your soul and your spirit. And the inner man is renewed day by day. Now look at the next verse. He says, "For our light affliction..." It doesn't feel light when you're going through it. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment..." And it doesn't feel like a moment when you're experiencing it. Let me ask it this way. How many of you have battled the flu this season? Okay, several cans go... When you're down and you're sick, whether it's the flu or something else, doesn't time seem to slow down? I mean, you're in bed and you just feel miserable and lousy and everything, and you can't wait for the day to go by. You want the night to come so you can get some sleep, but then the night comes and you can't get any sleep, so you're waiting for the night to be in and the day. Time just seems, it doesn't seem like a moment. It doesn't. But this is a relative term. Relative to what? Eternity. You see that? It's in the midst of that affliction, whatever it is, the flu, the headache, the cancer, the brain tumor, whatever it is, that is the opportunity to walk by faith. And it's hard to do that sometimes. I'm telling you, when you're sick and down and you can't even think clearly sometimes, it's very hard. But it's in the midst of that that you can rest assured that God's grace is sufficient. Just appeal to the verse. Make a decision in your mind. I'm going to trust what the verse says. Because God cannot lie. I have found Him to be faithful in the past. I know He will not let me down. I know He is faithful today and He will ever be faithful. I'll trust His Word. You still will have the pain and the suffering and the headache and whatever the challenge is and so forth. And yet God is working in the inner man. He says here at this verse, verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Okay, now look at the next statement. Worketh for us. Worketh for us. Worketh for us. How many of you are business owners? How many of you maybe are self-employed where you hire people? One of the greatest challenges when you're a business owner, self-employed, and you're looking for people to hire and so forth, frankly, is employees. You want to find good, reliable, dependable employees who will work when they're supposed to work. They'll be there on time. They'll be honest with you. They'll tell you how things are going, that type of thing. You can count on them. You can depend upon them. Is that not true? Think about that in relation to that verse. Whatever it is that you're going through, it's like your employee. It's going to be a faithful, dependable, reliable, on-time employee, and it's going to work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whoa! This is like way over the top stuff here. This is like amazing. And it's all part of God's plan called glory. He's called the Father of glory because He's the one that authored this plan that He calls glory. I'm sorry? Self-employed is also a good analogy, yeah. Because yes.
So our incentive here is huge.
It is. And it's interesting that it, in the end result, the end is the glory of God. In fact, so thanks for that comment, Tyler, by the way. But look back at verse 15. You'll see how the issue is the glory of God. He says, for all things are for your sakes. See, whatever Paul was going through was for the benefit of the Corinthians' edification and therefore their benefit. See that? He says, for all things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace, that is, the ability of grace to abound in the crop that it produces in your heart. The abundant grace, not limited grace, there could be no such thing, by the way. The abundant grace, the ability of grace to abound beyond the need. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of, there's the body of Christ, might redound to what? To the glory of God. And then he says, go back to verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Worketh for us. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let me try to get real practical on that verse right there. And I trust we have already. But in the area of prayer, because there are oftentimes are things that people misunderstand about what we teach about either prayer or intervention or that type of thing. And we don't want to be misunderstood. Because prayer is such a vital part of the life of the believer and an assembly. It's such a vital part of a family, by the way, too. Husband to wife, wife to husband, together with the children and so forth. When we say that in the dispensation of grace that God is not intervening in the circumstances of life, is that the same thing as saying in the dispensation of grace, God is not intervening at all? See, that's not the same thing at all, saying that. When we say that God is not intervening in the circumstances of life, what we mean by that is, for example, He didn't make the salesman accept a lower offer when you went in to buy the car. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I used to tell you the story when Laura and I were first dating. I was at Texas A&M University and she was at Texas Women's University, and that was about a 3-hour drive. And what college kid has money to put gas in his car? I didn't. I mean, I drove on empty all the time, and I mean, I'm praying, Lord, just get me home, Lord, get me home. Turn those fumes into 10 gallons of gas. God didn't do that. Understand that? But does God intervene in the dispensation of grace? Yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Therefore, should we pray?
Yes.
For what?
For everything.
Philippians 4 very clearly says, let your request known to God. Talk to God about everything. By the way, He knows what you're thinking anyway. You know? Just try it right now. Take some deep, dark secret that you don't know, that you don't want anyone, including God, to know about it. Just think about it right now. That didn't work, did it? Yeah. Okay, Lord. God, the great privilege of just talking to the Lord about everything and all things, and it's more amazing that He wants to know. You know, you know, He's the one that desires that relationship with us. He reached out for us, did He not? And think about that. You go through the prayers, the difficulties, the challenges. You talk to the Lord. God does intervene in the dispensation of grace. He intervenes where? In the inner man. And the way that God does work in the circumstances of life is as a believer allows the Word to work in their life and reaches out to someone else or something else. So when one believer, because of what the Word of God says, reaches to another believer to strengthen them or encourage them or help them, did God do that? Yes, God did that. Does that make sense what I'm saying there? That is how God works. That's why local assembly is so important. That's why when you check, find out how others are doing throughout the week and you pray for them and you call them or text them or email them or that type of thing, write them a letter, you're allowing God's Word to work in you, in their heart, and then back to you. It truly is the living reality of the Lord Jesus Christ right here, right now, right today. So go ahead, brother. Here's what you do, and that's actually right where I'm going with this. Because this is in one of the main areas is in the area of healing. Let me ask it this way. Read that verse again. Verse 17. Verse 17 says this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What are the next three words? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Alright, what do we learn in those verses as far as God's viewpoint about a believer going through the suffering? What do we learn about God's viewpoint in those verses? We learn that God says it actually works for you. And exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And then back to verse 17, we want this all to be to the glory of God. So let me ask it this way. And this is delicate territory. When I say that, I don't mean delicate in the sense that you want to back away from what the verses say. I say delicate because there's nothing that reaches the heart of a person like when a person or a member of their family, a loved one, is going through a serious medical issue. There's nothing that reaches a heart like that. It's not your finances, not your car running out of gas, not getting a flat tire, not a broken refrigerator. Right? It's when you, your mom, your dad, your child, your brother, your sister, come down with a serious medical issue. Or it doesn't even necessarily have to be serious in the sense of life-threatening right today. It could be something just debilitating. You have to live with the rest of your life. There's nothing that affects a heart like that. There's nothing that so appeals to the heart of a mother and a dad, a father, when they see their child going through some health issue. You'd gladly exchange places with them, would you not? Absolutely, in a heart, in a second, in a flash, you know? So in that situation, based upon these verses, if we're going to walk by faith in what these verses say, what would be an appropriate way to pray based on these verses? See that there? That's how, based on these verses right here, if these verses describe God's view of how His grace factory, can I say it this way? If these verses describe that, and they do, then when that situation comes along and it reaches right into the heart of Rich Davis and his three daughters and his wife in this health issue, and it brings them to their knees, Or a big, tall man like that just bears his heart and tears come out. Big, strong man. And his daughter's right here with him. The other one's probably listening on the internet. You understand that there is a supernatural, spiritual, divine power that's at work in verses like these in the inner man. That is divine. That's intervention. That's supernatural. And as they pray, Lord, just help us to be strong through this. Our strength is in Christ. Therefore, help us to remember and recognize that the way to be strong is to depend on Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. See that? I'm sorry, Ken? Yes. My grace is sufficient for thee. That passage there. Lord, help us. When our flesh, everything about our flesh wants the healing. I'm a parent. We have four boys. And a wonderful granddaughter, by the way. you've got to know that if something was to happen to those boys and to that granddaughter, you've got to know my thinking to God would be, Lord, okay, can you make a special dispensation right now? And I'd say, Lord, I know you can't, and I know you're not going to. And obviously I wouldn't be making a joke out of it at a time like that. I'm just saying we all have the same heart, don't we? In a situation like that, you know you don't want that loved one to go through the suffering and the pain and the hurt and the hardship. And so the tendency is that we're gonna want to appeal maybe more to the verses of Scripture where Christ says, whatsoever in prayer you ask, believing you'll receive. And we'll want to appeal more to the passages where it talks about the great multitudes followed Christ and He healed everyone. And we'll want to appeal to the passages in the book of Acts where the Apostle Peter did the same thing and where Paul's handkerchief went out and healed some people. We're going to want to appeal to those passages. Okay, the Lord's not going to be mad if we do. He's not going to be upset. He's not going to say, John, you should know better. He's not going to think like that. He's not going to chastise you or me for that. But then that verse comes along. And you say, Lord, give me strength to trust this verse. Lord, help me have the confidence to rest in this verse. That your grace is sufficient. Lord, maybe like Epaphras, remember the book of Philippians here? Remember over here at Epaphroditus, I'm sorry? Maybe, Lord, you will have mercy. By the way, Epaphroditus, he wasn't completely recovered. When the Lord had mercy on him, that was not a healing that took place. When Paul sends him back, he says, I sent him therefore the more carefully. The guy was not well yet. They had to care for him. But Paul was concerned he would make it back alive. But you say, Lord, maybe by some nutrition issues and lots of fluids and that type of thing and some medical issues, Lord, maybe he'll recover. But if not, Lord, help me to rest upon your grace, the sufficiency of your grace to work in me and in my loved ones and in the testimony of local assembly so people can see on display, God, what you're manifesting. You're showing forth all long-suffering. And you're doing it for a pattern. Isn't that something? So it really does. The question you ask is very pertinent. And really kind of, that's why I say this is tender ground here. Now, not everyone will approach it this way. People often ask, you know, when they find out I'm a preacher or whatever, oh, here, pray, can you pray for this healing? Can you pray for that? And especially in situations where like it's a group of people you don't know and so forth, they say, oh, can you pray for this healing? If you hear me pray, I actually don't pray for the healing. Not because I don't want the person to get better. But I want them to hear a prayer that's different than the majority of prayers out there.
Well, and
don't lie. Yeah, that's right. It wouldn't be conveying the right information to the folks.
Yes.
You know? Oftentimes people want to appeal to the book of James. The oil. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick and they shall recover. Except when they don't. Now what do we do with James? You see what I'm saying? So it is appropriate to walk by faith. There is supernatural, divine, spiritual power working in the inner man of the believer when you and I as believers decide to pray consistent with how God is saying He is working in the dispensation of grace. It takes a walk of faith. It is challenging. It will open doors too, by the way, because people will ask, well, why didn't you pray this way? Well, here's why. Could you consider some verses maybe? It does, you begin to think differently than focusing on the outer man. And I promise you, that's hard to do when your loved one's outer man is perishing. You see it happening before your eyes. It's the one of the most difficult things you'll ever do. It's very, very hard. And as you go through that, you experience the reality, the sufficiency of the grace of God to work in your life and my life. Isn't that amazing? Look, if you turn back to Ephesians, and I know we're out of time here, but look at this, just real quickly. It's no wonder then that when Paul now shifts his thinking to the walk of a believer, it begins with the believer having a proper appreciation of the very nature of the dispensation of grace. That's why he says at verse 2, he says, with all what? Lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. Isn't that the nature? What God is doing now? Lowliness is, we'll talk about this more next time, but lowliness and meekness, that's exactly the opposite of pride. Next week we're going to talk about pride. But you're not supposed to tell people that, because then they won't come to church next week, okay? Anyway, we'll wrap it up here for today, but as I mentioned last week, be reading Ephesians 4 through 6. Read it at least once a week, if not more than that. Boy, and this will be real treasure to you, as I know it is anyway, as we study this. Okay, our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we can spend looking into Your Word this morning, especially when we see here verses about Your long-suffering, that's what You're putting on display today. And so You beseech us to allow what You're doing to be operative in an expression in us, not just to one another, but really to the world out there. And that You are indeed working in our inner man. And that's different than the previous dispensations where a lot of it was mostly the external. Not only the external, but a lot of it. And Father, we're grateful that you took the time to write these verses down so we could really see that You are intervening. You're intervening in the inner man of the believer. So You are very much at work. And Father, we just have to learn, yet not I, therefore our need of You in each and every moment, in each and every detail in our lives. We thank You for this opportunity just to labor together with You in the things that You are doing to glorify Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we do pray. Amen.